it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, here we go. It's hour three of the nation. We got 3 hours to go, and then the Fan After Dark coming up from 7 to 11 with Fred and Blake. It's time now for Wolchuk's Daily Football Fix. Here's Zachary.
All righty. Well, Jackson Dart and the Giants looking to pull off that upset in Philly. Really good article out from Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for ESPN, and he detailed the first time that Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo went ahead and met each other.
Scataboo.
All right. The first time we met, we said three words to each other and just headbutted each other. That was kind of like the start of our friendship. When we first got here to the Giants facility and met each other for the first time, we were able to spend more time on the plane. We had that rookie premiere, and they put us right next to each other. Obviously, we're still getting to know each other. I fell asleep on the plane, and I woke up to this dude wet-willying me and trying to put food on my face while I'm asleep. This is the kind of accurate representation of who he is 100% of the time.
This is like Ferguson and Henderson, or Hendershot.
Yeah.
When they got
together. They, like, hated each other and then became best friends.
I would just slow play it. I would just slow play it if right now if I'm Jackson Dart, I might want to pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of embarrassing content that his veteran self is going to get humiliated for every training camp. Let's put on a video of Jackson Dart's best TikTok dances from his rookie year.
Jeez.
Take it away.
Yeah. He just feels like a prankster. I'm sure other players in the locker room are like, screw this guy, he's annoying.
Yeah.
But he's pretty damn fun.
Cocky rookie.
Absolutely. He's walking by Dayball's doing his presser and he's just screaming things and Dayball just laughs, shakes his head like, that's Scataboo.
It's like he's got Tourette's, he'll just randomly scream out like physicality in meetings.
Got like Gus Johnson.
Just walking through. Yeah, he's got a little Gus Johnson.
Might have some mild Tourette's. You know, that happens sometimes.
And he does move the head a lot.
I read a story. You know, he would put on his brother's shoulder pads when he was a kid, put on his brother's older brother's shoulder pads and just run into telephone poles.
Wow. What a baller.
Dude, it's just
a
savage.
Just sick and twisted mentally. But you got to be. I mean, play with the reckless abandon that he plays with. It's incredible to watch. And I hope he has an awesome game tonight because screw the Eagles.
I do think the wet willy is a bit of a line crosser.
Really?
I don't know, man.
That is stunning to hear.
The wet willy is just some dude's spit finger.
Is that PTSD? Did you get a lot of those from your brothers as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, we went through a wet willy run.
Yeah, I get it.
And being on the offense with the wet willy and putting your finger in another dude's ear just is
weird.
It's just
some wax all
over.
It's probably not hygienic.
Oh, hell no, it can't be. No.
I mean, there's bodily fluids and orifices involved, guys. Let's just maybe back off this one.
But I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of all the other things that get done.
I don't know, like pants a kid, then like make them trip over their own pants.
Yeah, that. Like, I think I'd rather get pants and have my pants stepped on and pushed to the ground.
Maybe they accidentally pants you all the way. You got your little tiny Schwans hanging out there.
it's not ideal.
Everyone's pointing and laughing.
It's not ideal.
Some boxers calling you out for having small balls. You know?
You don't have these big Georgian balls. Speaking of balls, let's go to Michael Irvin here, the playmaker. Facts Over Feelings podcast had a clip that caught the playmaker's attention on his own show. And they had some...
He was hot.
They had some questions about Deion Sanders and how he would perform in this era compared to the era that he played. And when he's going up against Jerry Rice and Michael Irvin, well, here was Irv, and you'll hear a little bit of a clip from the Facts Over Feelings and Irv's response.
These guys that he played against weren't that fast, bro. Like...
I don't know.
They were stronger, but they weren't that fast. These guys, no. They big. They fast. They can jump.
Are you shitting me? I'm like, are you shitting me? Oh, wait. Let me. We are the two most accomplished receivers in the history of this game. When you're talking about the most important things, championships, and your stupid ass talking about running fast like people weren't running fast back then. Are you f-ing mean? Get the. Why are you? Why do you talk on a microphone? Why do you have a microphone? What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know your name. And I certainly don't know your game, because you don't. I don't see you every year with a gold jacket in that Hall of Fame room. I don't see you anywhere great players are. So who the f*** are you to talk about what, Deion Sanders couldn't cover these guys today?
Amazing. I love an angry Irv clapping back at this podcast.
That's going to defeat me in the today. In the,
G-bag of the day?
G-bag of the day.
Man, that is.
That's the winner right there.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, I can't even. Can you imagine waking up one morning and your podcast is being absolutely just railed against by the playmaker?
Now,
that's a hang it up day.
Any publicity, good publicity, right? That's Jerry's thing. But gosh, I would feel like I'm going to crawl on a ball and hide. Like Michael Irvin just put me in a body bag, bro.
That is quite the take, though.
Why do you even have a microphone?
It's not like Deion Sanders was not a speed demon himself.
Right.
Like, even for this day and age, you'd be like the fastest dude in the league.
The legend is you ran under a 4.2.
You know, the rules, man. The rules about the way you should be able to play bump and run. I mean, yeah, you might not be fast, but, man, they let you get up and you get to chuck guys the whole way up the field.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I think today's game would be better for Deion, actually, because it's less physical.
I agree.
No question.
Exactly.
No question.
Exactly. I mean, to me, I don't think that the speed – I mean, yeah, it's two different eras, but Deion's one of those – all-time greats.
Yeah.
You put him in any era. Daryl
Green.
Awesome.
Daryl Green could really, really run.
100%.
Smaller guy, played bump and run, didn't give you any space. Yeah, maybe the receivers didn't run very fast.
Crazy.
But
I mean, you did have like James Jett, who was an Olympian. You had Willie Gault and Tim Brown. And I mean, Alvin Harper ran in the 4.3s. John Taylor was a 4.3s guy. There was a lot of speedy players back then.
It's
until they got over that middle.
Yeah.
Alligator arms came out.
Michael Irvin did.
Jack Tatum and those guys standing in the middle of the field.
Herman Moore, Henry Ellard.
Yeah, the thing is, boy, you could have named two guys that were, when you start to talk about how tall and short one.
Yeah,
it was polar opposites. I mean, that was good. That was a good one. It's kind of amazing now with the way, like I say, that these guys, that they do play. But if you look at today's wide receivers, if you look at the top five of them in the league, the catches, all of them are route runners. Hmm. We're going to get to a point where we're going to start drafting route runners. The Puka Nacuas, the guys Ibuka. Ibuka. We're going to start drafting. It's going to be about guys that know how to get open.
JSN.
Against all kinds of defenses. It's not going to be about speed and stuff anymore. It's going to be about how good of a route runner and how do you separate.
Yeah.
These
100%. And the problem is a lot of these guys will, like if we've talked in the draft, they'll kind of get put in the box of like, well, are you a slot only player?
Yeah.
And I think some of the, like that was my argument with JSN. Like, well, yeah, he did line up in the slot a lot. But if you watch him when he's getting bumped at the line, like he doesn't show to me that he's somebody that if you got to line him up outside, that he's just going to get thrown around like a rag doll.
Yeah. We've talked about, the guy can't run, the guy can't do this, can't do that. But if you're a damn good route runner in the in college football,
translates,
you're probably going to be a pretty good NFL wide receiver.
You're right.
With your route running.
Had another trade, and I don't know. These trades are starting to now happen. We've had a couple already this week. You might not want to wait around. You know, if you want to, you might need to be aggressive. Get on the phone and do something if there's somebody out there to be had. Jags are sending Greg Newsome to Tyson Campbell to the Browns. Browns are sending the Jacksonville Jags back Greg Newsome. So they're swapping corners. This is a trade made by both teams, of course, on draft day. When they traded and Jacksonville moved up to go and get Travis Hunter, we thought Cleveland would take him. They end up moving back. So the Jags send Campbell and a 2026 seventh-round pick they previously acquired from the Eagles to the Browns for Greg Newsome, who I think is a really good corner.
So they're sending Newsome back to the Browns?
To the Jags.
Oh, to the Jags.
The Browns get Newsome and a 2026 sixth-round selection that they had acquired from the Jets. So basically 6 and 7 rounders and corner swapping.
I thought Newsome was originally with the
Two former, now he's with the Jags.
Oh, okay.
So the Browns are sending him to the Jags. Jags are sending the Browns Campbell.
I see. Okay, yeah, I was – okay, sorry about that.
So two former first-rounders. So like Tyson Campbell – or Tyson Campbell might have been a second-rounder. Didn't work out of Georgia with Jacksonville. Greg Newsom, though, I think is really good. Former first-rounder out of Northwestern. But for a sixth? Like, yeah. Like, these are the type of deals, man. If you're going to be able to get some of these players for a very – and he's only 25 years old, 26th pick in 2021. He's got that fifth-year option paying him $13.38 million. I'd have been – you know, if you needed a corner – certainly, I think that's a good move for both teams. Where would you have the NFC East right now in your rankings of the divisions? Preseason, it was pretty damn low. But now, Eagles sitting at 4-1, Cowboys at 2-2-1, Commanders at 3-2, Giants have made a quarterback change. They move it up for you?
I mean, yeah, you'd have the NFC North, NFC West, AFC West, and then I think you could start making arguments for the NFC East. Is that?
Yeah, I think that that's probably the case. Now, they'll have some of the top three in different orders. I do think the North is still the best. You've got the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Bears. All of nobody's got a losing record in that division.
Right.
I think the AFC South has also become a little bit better than we initially thought. Hmm. You got the Colts and the Jags both sitting there at 4-1. The Texans, do they start to win some games and get back in the hunt? Obviously, the Titans are going to drag them down. But they've got, courtesy of ESPN, the Cowboys in the NFC West at 4 right now.
Patriots are coming on strong, and they could be 4-1 if they hadn't turned it over 5 times against the Steelers. So I would say the AFC East is a candidate. But, I mean, other than the NFC North, I don't think there's a division that's clearly head and shoulders above what the NFC East has cooking right now.
Yeah, I mean, the West is good. To your point, you know, the Cardinals, I think, are going to end up stinking. But right now, you got the 49ers are playing pretty good ball at 4-1. The Rams are sitting there at 3-2. Seattle also at 3-2. Do they end up fading?
Yeah, Seattle might be the team. If you look at just the overall, though, like, if you look at how they're slotted right now, San Francisco's at 2, Seattle's at 6, and the Rams are at 9.
Yeah.
The way they're seated right now in the because of schedules and stuff like that, point the differentials and things that you
Seattle's good and Darnold. I mean, last week that was a heck of a game with Tampa Bay. They came out on the wrong end of it, but Darnold played really, really well. It looks like Lamar Jackson's probably going to miss this game against the Rams. So I mean, Baltimore, you're looking at possibly a 1-5 start, yet still favored to win that division, right? Pretty nuts.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
All righty. We got your football fix every afternoon at 4 o'clock here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys trade deadline updates coming up at 4:40. We got the Jake Ferguson show coming up in just over an hour from now. Of course, G-Bag of the Day and LA Live and everything. And Joe Person, who covers the Panthers for The Athletic, is going to join us at 6 o'clock. So we'd love it if you can stick around, spend the rest of the afternoon with us talking Cowboys and sports. And Wolchuk's going back-to-back. He's got a mixed bag coming up. Where's that going?
Let's preview your Dallas Stars October baseball and the Chipotle employee. He's got that Mateer scoop. That's next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We want to see you tomorrow. Come get your G-Bag Nation flags. We'll be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. Lucius will be with us. KNC is going to be at Taco Bueno 10 to 2, so go find them for a flag. And how about this? Saturday, Tour de Barbecue, Flagtober style, Mansfield Hurtado 10 to 10:30, and then Fort Worth 11:30 to 12, and of course the Highland Hotel. Downtown Dallas there, 2 to 6 for the Red River Watch Party. Time now for a Wolchuk mixed bag. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. What is it that I will never know, Wolchuk?
How damn good the Stars team's going to be. I mean, I can't wait for tonight. They're getting it going. 7 o'clock, puck's going to drop there in Winnipeg. But I do think there's a lot of questions about the Stars team this year. And I think the player that could really tilt things for them is Maverick Bourque. We got to see a little bit of Maverick Bourque last year in the playoffs. Super, super young. And the stars have hit on guys like Wyatt Johnson. Obviously, he's been awesome. Jason Robertson will be a restricted free agent this year. But when you lose a bunch of goal scorers, and they did with Dadonov leaving, and Marchment, still, I mean, that's a 20-plus goal scorer guy. Obviously, he was frustrating in the postseason. Now Jamie Benn's down. I don't know when you're going to get him back. Some fans, they didn't even want Jamie Benn coming back to begin with. But you do have to replace some scoring. And they need Maverick Bourque to be that guy that really steps up in a big way among those forwards. And then Nils Lundqvist, who missed last year with an injury, he's going to be a defenseman. I have been pretty off the Nils Lundqvist bandwagon. They traded a first-round pick with New York with him a few years ago. But he's a guy that needs to emerge as one of their top four defensemen. They'll probably be sticking with Harley, Haskinen, Petrovic. Those guys are all going to be back. You saw them log major minutes in the postseason. But Nils Lundqvist is a guy that needs to step up. Certainly can be good when it comes to running the blue line on the power play. But what is he able to do? You know, he's a smaller guy. I don't think he's really going to be a big enforcer. But just kind of keeping pucks in, chipping them down low, helping out with the forecheck a little bit. You need Nils Lundqvist and Maverick Bourque. There's going to be two X-factor players this year if the Stars are going to be able to keep home ice come playoff time.
Younger players?
Younger guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, the Athletic, still picking the Stars to win the Stanley Cup this year. They got 28.6% of their votes among 35 Athletic NHL staff survey members. The Vegas Golden Knights were number two, followed by Edmonton. So those were your top three teams. Then Tampa Bay, Colorado, and Carolina received the other votes. I probably would be picking Colorado in the West right now. I think Colorado is going to end up edging out the Stars in the Central Division. But, hey, we'll see what happens with Gully this year. I certainly expect to see the power play be even better offensively. That's his bread and butter. He had that humming for the Edmonton Oilers this year. Yep, even better. He's also, you know, one thing the Hockey Hawk Spitzy sent us over some information. Like, one thing about Pete DeBoer, he was all about the shorter shifts.
Right.
Gully, I don't know. Does he end up making transitions there? And do you see Miro Heiskanen, but also Rantanen, end up just getting more ice time? I mean, he is without question their best player. You're going to need Rantanen to really put this team on his back at points this year.
I believed in each of the last two springs, and then they faced Edmonton, and I just feel like that's maybe the biggest key, is not having to play them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Hope you can dodge them.
I'm excited to see just a pesky team there, different
brand of physicality. You know, it seems like that is something that they absolutely need. Winning the puck battles and things like that.
They got a little bit bigger with some of their offseason additions. But yes, you're right. I mean, like,
they got to get meaner.
They do. Grittier, you know, being
nastier.
Able to, the wall battles, you know, that's really where they lost wall battles against Edmonton on a consistent basis, even against Colorado when they were losing games. But yeah, they need to get gritty, tough, nasty. Do the little things right, boys. That's what we need to see here.
I was thinking of the movie Slapshot when you said that.
Oh, yeah.
And they took, remember, the bus is parked out there and they're taking an axe to it. And they're like, they go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm making it look meaner." I was thinking when you were saying that about that. You know, the whole
That's
thing.
A great scene. I was thinking more of Popovich. I need more nasty.
I need more. Yeah.
Remember that? Was that 12, maybe 13?
Yeah.
I need more
Otter
nasty.
Otter looking to go 4-0 in opening game. Starts.
I hope it happens.
It would be the first time in Star North Star history. If we
can
get that done.
We're going back to the Minnesota days.
Yeah,
eh?
Caesar.
How about that, boys?
Caesar Montiago.
Otter with a chance to go 4-0 here on openers. Huh? Let's make this happen. Let's go. You can't go 82-0 unless you win the first one. That's what Corey Majors taught me.
I'd settle for 81-0-1. You know, don't want to be greedy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Who are we to be a little bit greedy this time of year? You know. All right, let's go to Norman, Oklahoma. We got a big Red River showdown just up the road, and I encourage you to come out to the Highland Hotel.
I'm kind of glad we're – now, wait a minute. Okay, we're not – I was thinking that we were going to have to be at the Pickler place, which is right there off 35. I was thinking –
Friday.
I think next Friday.
I know, that's what I'm saying, with all that traffic.
You guys are on Ulysses. I think you're going to be able to dodge some of that stuff.
That's what I'm saying, though. I was worried about, like, I was thinking, thank God we're not at the Pickler place, which is a great place to be.
Yeah,
but,
it is. Yeah, it's going to be busy tomorrow.
All that traffic on 35 trying to get over there, yeah.
It's my personal health.
Yeah.
Being stuck on one of those overpasses in traffic.
That would be. Yeah, you're like moving at a snail's pace, bumper to bumper. Next thing you know, you're up there for like 500, 5 minutes.
Ooh. You're lucky.
You might just get out and abandon the car. Just start walking. Like, F this, man.
I got stuck downtown Austin one time for like 20 minutes on that bridge.
No.
and I was pitting out by the time I got back on solid ground.
That can be a nightmare because the traffic in Austin, it's downtown in that area. It is absolutely no joke.
You take one, go all the way around.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah. Oh.
You got to pay.
Okay, do you want to be trapped on the overpass?
I always take
or go on the high overpasses? Welcome to my world, Brian.
I always take the one.
I need a personal driver.
I pay for it.
My man's sitting there like he DoorDashes bottle of water from a hotel. You think he cares
about
one
time?
You think he cares about a little toll?
That was such a flex.
That was amazing.
I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. That you're like, oh, I just can't make it down to the lobby.
Just screw it. I don't want to go out there. I'm in my skivvies.
I was in a poker tournament.
Didn't
want to miss a hand. Might be my Rockets.
So I want to turn it around. All right, let's go to Norman. They're doing some excellent journalism, and they have tracked down the tortilla presser himself at the Chipotle to give us the update on what the hell is going on with John Mateer.
One being Cooper Whitaker, the viral tortilla presser who did his own reporting when he found himself face-to-face with Mateer while working at Chipotle.
Kind of try to keep it composed, but then I was like immediately like, so how's the thumb? you know, and then I was like, are you playing for AU Texas? And he's like, yeah, definitely. And then I was like super geeked, you know, like the whole conversation after that. He showed me his thumb. It was only stitches, no cast. He said the doctor shouldn't put 3 nails in there. So he's all good.
While Venable says one thing, Whitaker says this.
BV has been very careful with his words recently. He's been like, we assume he's not playing. We say these things. He's like, oh, you know, he's like trying hard. But what Mateer told me is that he definitely wants to play.
The tortilla presser's reporting might not be credible, but this take is.
I don't hate a lot of things, being a Christian and all. But Texas is from Satan.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that take might be questionable, but so could John Mateer when the injury report comes out later tonight at 7 o'clock. Reporting from campus, Michael Thompson, OU Nightly.
Thank you, Michael. Nice
job, Mike.
That. Wow. That is some hardcore journalism right there, just going and making sure we're tracking down the Chipotle worker. But, I mean, Mateer showed him the thumb, and the thumb looked good to go, according to that tortilla presser. So we'll see.
And why don't you throw in some extra guacamole at it, please?
Yeah, can I get it some free guac?
I'm going to show you the thumb. I need some extra guacamole, please.
But then this burnout burrito maker, he circles back and says he definitely wants to play. You know, which one is it?
Yeah.
He is going to play or he wants to play?
Burnout.
I think he wants to play, but I don't think he's going to play.
If you're OU, do you want him to play right now?
Yes.
I don't think you do.
If you're OU, I think you want to beat Texas as badly as you possibly can. They've had some embarrassing losses.
Sacrifice their quarterback. Years.
That sounds like turnover central. How are you going to have ball security?
Yeah. Well, look, Michael Hawkins Jr. is capable of that, too. I mean, he was rough when he had to play last year, Frisco Emerson product, but he looked good last week in place of John Mateer. But I will say, I know as much as we're fading Texas and they did not look good on their defensive line, they've still got a lot of really good players on that defense. I mean, Michael Taff at safety, Anthony Hill Jr., if they get Malik Muhammad, South Oak Cliff back at corner, like Texas defense is still really good, but they did get bullied by that offensive line for Texas. So if OU is able to run the football, I think the Sooners are going to probably be at a good spot.
I expect an ugly low scoring game.
Yeah.
Maybe even 13-10 or something.
Give me the Horns 20-16. Put them up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just when you fade in Texas, Texas will find a way.
I'm sure Carter will tell me this here, but
win a game they shouldn't.
No, this Oklahoma schedule afterwards, maybe you got to think big picture. At South Carolina, Ole Miss, at Tennessee, at Alabama, Missouri at home, LSU.
Dang, that's a gauntlet, bro.
It's a gauntlet.
Can you figure out, do you need your quarterback is completely healthy? Do you feel like you can get by Texas one more week and then play for the rest of the season?
To
play
for the Texas playoff team that showed up against
but
Florida.
But you can lose one game. You can lose two games to get in the playoffs, it seems like.
Yeah, you could lose one for sure if you're Oklahoma. But, I mean, man, I know that Sooner fan base, you just heard it right there. They want nothing more than to just kick Texas while they're down.
At what price?
Just beat the crap. I don't think they care. I think Oklahoma fans care more about beating Texas than they do probably about the SEC title game.
Man, I tell you what, I'd be real cautious because they look like they got a really good team. But if you sacrifice, you play your quarterback, and now something else happens, and you got that schedule, I don't know.
I don't think he's playing. I don't think he's ready yet. So I don't think they're going to have to worry about that. But you got to wonder. I mean, it might end up being a conversation of can you beat Texas without him?
Yeah, that's where I would. That's That's why I would evaluate.
A week ago, I didn't think they could. I didn't think Oklahoma would be
your
touched
defense,
up
your
but
defense,
after the Florida game, you're feeling better.
Your defense is good enough to get after Texas and they cause are. Problems.
With the way Texas' offensive
not,
line
they're
is
not gonna, they're not going to fix their offensive line problems in 5 days. It's just not going to happen.
A lot of DFW players in this one. Jacob Jordan, wide receiver, South Lake Carroll, playing for Oklahoma. Jaden Hardy, defensive back, Louisville. Also at Oklahoma, Texas, Denton Ryan's own, Anthony Hill Jr., Duncanville's own, Colin Simmons, who's an absolute savage, Parker Livingston from Lovejoy, who's kind of become the number one receiver there for Arch, Melissa's Trevor Goosby, who needs to step up and play great. I already told you about Malik Muhammad, the sock player, Kalik Lockett, sexy wide receiver at Texas. So a ton of local players getting to come back home, play at the Cotton Bowl. Texas, Oklahoma, there's really nothing better. But shout out to the Mean Green. It's a big moment.
Salute.
Tomorrow night, Datku sold out for the first time ever, hosting wow. South Florida. Beat the Bulls, baby. Let's go, Mean Green, in front of the entire country. Show them what you got. Drew Mestemaker for Heisman. Ka, baby. I love you, North
Seems
Texas.
Like their year. Congrats to you, boys.
I hope
and,
so.
Thank you to all the Mean Green fans out there. Looking forward to having a great and safe Friday night to kick off your football weekend. Okay, we're coming back with some Cowboys trade deadline updates as we're within a month here. What's the latest scuttlebutt happening that could potentially benefit the Cowboys? We'll do that. Jake Ferguson show coming up in 1 hour. Jake's going to call the program at 5:35 tonight, so we're going to have to be fluid and flexible there. But we'll be rocking in the expressway before too long here.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. I do have some trade deadline updates, including one that's just developing this afternoon. But speaking of developments this afternoon, Dak Prescott talking with reporters after today's practice. He was asked about Rico Dowdle saying, buckle up. He says, we have to. We're getting on the plane. So that's classic Dak Prescott right there. Mishota's got a quote from him. You know, at 32 years old, he used to talk about how he probably wouldn't play into his 40s like Tom Brady. But as he's getting older, 32, going to be 33 in the offseason, says, yeah, it's definitely changed. I can see it more realistically now. And I think as much as anything, just the fun and the peace that this game still gives me 10 years in, it's going to be hard. You can't supplement it. So as long as I can do this at a level that I'm proud and happy with, I will keep trying. And I'm excited about that. I don't know. You know, I don't know how you would handicap the odds of him being able to play to 40 considering the injuries he's already had. But, you know, sometimes players figure out what it takes to stay healthier or they get better luck and they end up staying healthy. Like I always think of Grant Hill in basketball. And there's no doubt about it. Looking at some of these pictures, it's incredible how lean Dak is. I mean, from where he was as a rookie to now, it's got to be 20 or 30 pounds lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is a smaller guy, and I don't think he's lost any strength. He's probably stronger and smaller, you know, lighter on his feet, capable of moving, maybe capable of avoiding contact a little bit better.
Body fat percentage?
Eight?
Gosh, I'm thinking, 9? I mean, yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, and that used to be probably somewhere in the neighborhood of closer to 20.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it was over 20 his rookie year. And remember that picture from the summer, how shredded he was? He looked like an Olympic swimmer or something, or like an Olympic boxer. And then I got one more Dak one here for you. He's been asked about passing records in franchise history. He's coming up on a bunch of benchmarks, and he was asked about passing Romo for third place for wins in team history, and his response was never celebrated third place. So he's got bigger goals than that. All right, the Jets are willing to trade Breece Hall is the story. The Chargers, the Chiefs, the Texans expected to show interest there in Breece Hall, who we got an up-close personal look at there with the Jets. Really good runner. I think he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that'd be fun if he goes to the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chargers really need him after losing their rookie and Najee Harris.
Yep.
They're down and out. And yeah, maybe the Texans are a Breece Hall away from getting that offense back on track. The tough news yesterday, I thought, in the trade market, Greg Newsom last night dealt from Cleveland to Jacksonville. He could have been had for not much. They gave up a worse, younger corner and I think a sixth or seventh round pick for Greg Newsom, considered to be a good read and react corner who thrives in zone. I'm not going to act like I've been watching Cleveland a lot, but yeah, everything I've read about Greg Newsom today, that should be the corner the Cowboys are hot after, shouldn't it, Wolchuk?
I was a big fan of his coming out of Northwestern. I think he can play inside and outside, but I don't know. Like, I just don't know how active. I mean, I believe in Will McClay and his staff that they're probably well versed on who is available and who's not. So if they wanted to just go in there and say, hey, who's somebody we should call? I just don't know how aggressive the Cowboys are when it comes to picking up the phone in these times.
Yeah, and I don't think they are. I think they're waiting for a great trade to arrive on their doorstep that they're willing to accept. Like, wow, you're willing to give us Pickens for a three? Okay, it's done. You know, yeah. I don't know if the Joneses specifically want to be working those phones constantly trying to make incremental upgrades, because I believe they feel like if they're out there on the hunt, they're going to have to pay a premium. When you're close, pay the damn premium.
You nailed it, though. It's like, because even the picking stuff, I had been told that it was done, you know, and then after the draft, I think the Steelers lowered their asking price. So certain times, like, the Cowboys are only going to do these deals if they get it on their term. But if you believe in Dak and what this offense is doing, I'm with you. When you look at the NFC, maybe it's time to say, you know what, we're going to finally go for it and go ahead and overpay.
What was the second trade? Was it Brown? Was it Quinnen Williams? Was it Micah? When he said before the draft there's two trades, yeah, did you ever hear what that second one was going to be?
No, I know the Jets couldn't do it financially. They had just paid Wilson and Sauce, so it would not work cap-wise. The Panthers had said that they just didn't want to give up Derek Brown, so that's why they didn't want to do it. But I don't know exactly for sure who what that second team was that ended up getting close with Green Bay. It might have been the Eagles.
There's talk out of Miami that maybe Achane is available. That could get interesting as well. I don't think the Cowboys are in any sort of a market for a running back at this point, are they?
No, they shouldn't be. It's all defense. Yeah. It's all defense, and it could be basically any position defensively.
What about Bradley Chubb from Miami? I saw his name floated around as a trade candidate.
Yeah, I need to freshen up on how he's been. He's been so banged up. He's off another injury this year. And
he had a good play against Carolina, I noticed. When Bryce Young had to fumble, he got the pressure on him. Like, he still looks, I mean, not what he was in Denver, but he still looks like he'd be an upgrade.
His contract is pretty fat.
Yeah.
From what I remember, like, Miami handed him the fatty, fatty boomba.
Oh, recently?
Yeah, like maybe a season ago.
Maybe we'd have to get them to eat some of that.
But Miami's the team. Cleveland, Tennessee, I think those are maybe the three teams that appear to be the most definitive sellers.
Well, and the Jets, apparently. Yeah. Like, anybody's pretty much available with the Jets. I don't know. I mean, we just studied them. Do they have anybody defensively, like a linebacker or safety or anything? I don't know that the Jets have anybody that you're
Yeah, would. They're trying to kind of get rid of all those Joe Douglas guys. So everybody that Joe Douglas and that previous regime brought in, they're kind of moving on from those guys. So, yeah, I guess Breece Hall would make absolute sense if you wanted to. I mean, that would be the one that would if you're just saying interest. I mean, don't look at the Cowboy thing, but if they were trading a guy, that's the guy.
Teams will be interested.
That's
in
why
him.
That's the guy I would absolutely look at.
Difference making player, I think. Bleacher Report did a story about Jalen Phillips as we stay in Miami, and he was moving around Moton for Carolina like he was stuck in quicksand a couple of times. The value, they say, a conditional fourth round pick in the 2026 draft. I think the problem there is, you get him, and I don't know if you'd want to do the second contract unless it was incentive-laden, because he really has not been healthy full season since 2022. Knox also listing the Cowboys and 49ers as a destination for Trey Hendrickson. And the reminder, Diana Russini reported in August, the Bengals were asking for a fourth-rounder and a young player, but the belief would be they wouldn't get that. So maybe a five and a young player. Do the Cowboys have any young players you think that would be of interest if one of these teams is asking for one back?
Three offensive linemen that are all being backups right now. Would you like to give them Bass, Thomas, Hoffman, somebody like that?
A better receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a hell of an opportunity, especially with these guys being free agents at the end of the year. Go ahead and risk that you'll be healthy for the rest of the season.
I mean, honestly, when you start thinking about the Bengals and a Trey Hendrickson situation, I mean, don't they need offensive linemen? Bad. Yeah. Wouldn't they? Yeah. Especially an expiring guy like a TJ Bass. It's like, hey, you could have a starting guy. You trade for him, you get it.
Did I just say that?
Well, just specifically with Cincinnati.
That's what I said. We were talking about Cincinnati, right?
I was just talking in general there. No, I think it was.
Did I not? No, I'm just curious.
I knew you went. I didn't hear you mention.
We were on the Bengals. We were on Rossini's report. Yeah.
I said, would you give up one of these offensive linemen? And yeah. I named three guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is what I did. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I didn't think about the Bengals tie in there. I was just thinking about for Trey Hendrickson, like a team that could absolutely.
Yeah, you asked about a wide receiver, and I was trying to give him an offensive lineman because I know they're having problems.
Yeah, I was just throwing out receiver in general, just not specific team.
Okay,
because I mean Cincinnati's not a team that would need a receiver, but the offensive lineman, to your point, 100%.
Okay, I'm sorry, yeah, Chief. I think
TJ Bass would be a starter for somebody. Yeah. I did a dive on linebackers yesterday. Today I went looking for corners that could be available. You have players having a down year, right? Riley Moss of the Denver Broncos, Legarius Sneed of the Tennessee Titans, Super Bowl champ, I think, not playing that well. Tariq Woolen, Seattle Seahawks, out of favor, might be available. I don't think Seattle's going to be looking to part with talent, especially starting quality defensive backs. And then you have Pro Bowlers on bad teams. Sauce Gardner's just a non-starter. J.C. Horn, probably a non-starter. You watching him on film, though, Brian? You like J.C. Horn? Could he help the Cowboys?
Well, yeah, if you play zone coverage, that's kind of what he's been doing. But I always kind of thought J.C. Horn was more of a man cover guy, but he's really not. You know, so, and the fact that all he does is play on the boundary side, that's a little concerning to me as well. And they're probably going to overvalue him way too much.
I think Reek Willen would do the same. I just really wonder, just trying to put my mind like where their heads are at, would they really be interested in a corner? Like, I know we're looking at their cornerbacks and being like, they need help. Yeah. But they just paid Bland. They just drafted Revel.
Yeah.
They've paid Diggs. And maybe Diggs doesn't have a future here. Maybe they look to get off it. But just in their building, I don't know that they're looking at corner and saying, like, we need to make a move here. I think they're thinking we've got that position solidified for years to come.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair unless they get destroyed over the next 3 weeks or there is an injury or somebody actually convinces them that, hey, Dak probably won't make it to 40. He's playing like an MVP right now. We have this opportunity, and we have good depth that we could trade from. Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens and then Denzel Ward, the Cleveland Browns' other corner, is listed. I think that Cleveland defense is so good that they're just a quarterback away from being a really interesting team. I don't know if I'd be wanting to part with any of my foundational pieces, and I think Wolchuk makes a good point about the Cowboys' appetite right now. I think they're in some pretty good denial about how much Diggs has slipped and how Bland just really never made that final bridge. Or maybe he's being held back from injury, but he's pretty average too. Okay, we got three down and two to go here on the Fan. Jake Ferguson show's coming up in about 40 minutes there at 5:35 today. Chief, where are we going next?
Football's finest, Coach Prime, calls ballsack on an NFL head coach, and Overshown gets some love. That's next here in the nation.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly why it's not outside of Cleveland. Think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.